Welcome to the Shelf Podcast with your hosts, JC Loophole and Wolf Flywheel.
Boom, 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 boom. Greetings, shelfers, and welcome to the Shelf Podcast. I am your humble host, JC Loophole.
Never been humble.
And with me as ever is your slightly less humble, but nonetheless upstanding host, Wolf Flywheel.
Yes, welcome to the show. This is going to be an extension and embodiment of the Shelf website, where, of course, we discuss all things history, music, games, movies, current, not-so-current events, news, and pop culture. Make sure you're comfortable and strapped in. We're going to be discussing, among other things, James Bond.
That's right. We'll talk about our recent results of our shelf poll, where you and the shelfers named the best actor who portrayed James Bond. How many times did you vote on this, Wolf?
Probably about 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 maybe.
We'll also discuss our top shelf picks of the James Bond movies. Both Wolf and I have different top 5 lists. We'll talk about those. And we'll be talking about the latest actor to embody Bond, Daniel Craig.
Later on, we're going to have a DVD review of the recent John Wayne, John Ford collection box set. We'll have a media roundup, month outlook. Best classic, modern classic films coming your way on DVD this month. And I think we might rant a little bit about some recent news ideas.
Yes, ranting. It does a body good. All that stuff and more today on the Shelf Podcast.
Last few weeks, you've had a chance to vote in the Shelf poll. Who's been the best actor to portray James Bond? And the results are a mix of the expected and unexpected. And I think it was more expected for me.
Well, I think the top part of the poll was... It was the bottom part that kind of...
Yeah, the bottom part was a little unexpected. We had Sean Connery coming in at number one, of course, with 50%. Roger Moore right behind that. Pierce Brosnan came in a third. And the surprising part is we have beating out Timothy Dalton, who made a couple of decent Bond films, I think, was George Lazenby.
Molefinger!
Well, George, we were talking earlier, the reason he says Molefinger, we were talking earlier about George Lazenby, and in the special features on one of the new, the recent Paramount Special Edition releases, has an interview of George Lazenby now. The man has a growth on his nose. And they angled the camera so that there's hopefully shadow on it, but the thing was like staring at me.
Look, the man's old. Give him a kind of little slack.
But just because you're old doesn't mean you got a growth on the front of your face. and the thing, I guess, to me it seems like, I don't know, maybe he's got his own villain.
Yeah,
that's his Bond villain that's growing on his nose. He's got a sponge that's a bug for him and listens to everything he's telling him.
That's right. Now, the mole's not wearing a bowler hat, though, that he can toss around.
Well, he's probably got another special technique. Maybe he can just explode on command. He's a suicide bomber.
That's right. Got poison pus.
He's a suicide wart.
That's right. Well, I was surprised by that because, and I'll put this, I voted twice. I'll say that. I voted twice. I voted for Sean Connery, and I voted for Pierce.
I voted for Lazenby once because I thought he was going to get no votes.
Give him a pity vote?
Well, and I thought it'd be funny to look at it later and say, Lazenby got a vote.
Now, see, that's Florida.
I stuffed the ballot box.
It was a hanging chair.
I had about 4 purple ink fingers.
Lazenby had a hanging mole. Well, the thing is that Timothy Dalton made 2 movies, where Lazenby made 1. Now, on DVD Times, it's a website that's on our shelf links. If you'll look to the right on the shelf, you'll see the link to DVD Times. They recently did reviews of all the Ultimate Editions of James Bond that were released in the UK back earlier, I think, perhaps in July. And they had some surprisingly good things to say about Lazenby from Her Majesty's Secret Service. They said it was a really good film. Yeah. It was just Lazenby lacked the charisma that a lot of the other Bonds had. It's a little bit different. This is time for a top 5 shelf pick. Now, Loophole has different ones, and Flywheel, of course, has got some. But let's let Wolf go ahead and name his top 5.
My
picks.
Top 5. Here we go. All right, let's see. I got a... coming in first, and honestly, this really isn't going to be in order of my favorite.
Okay.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give you 5. And honestly, I think that it was a hard thing because there's a whole lot of Bonds that I enjoy. First one I'm going to mention needs no explanation, and that's going to be Goldfinger. Goldfinger was excellent. Classic villain with Oddjob. Classic villain with Goldfinger. And you know, I don't know if anybody knows this, but when they saw the man that played Goldfinger, I can't even remember his name.
Auric. I can't remember his last name right now myself.
Well, Auric is his name in the movie. There.
Oh, Auric Goldfinger. Sorry, yes.
Everyone make fun of him. Point and laugh. But yes, his agent sent them a video clip of him doing a movie, and he's German, and it had him speaking in some English, and he was speaking mostly in German. They asked his agent, "Well, do you speak English?" And they said no, or I'm sorry, his agent said yes. And when he came to screen test, all he could say is, "Hello, how are you?" He just said the common tourist phrases. He couldn't speak any English. So what they did was they coached him in being able to mouth the words and say the lines with this horrible accent. And they actually overdubbed him with another actor.
That's right. But, I remember that. I remember reading that.
Excellent villain. Pussy Galore, Honor Blackman.
Honor Blackman.
One of the most... She, honestly, Shelfers, you see the special features. Years have not done her well. But she was great in the movie. I think she was a great woman to play opposite James Bond. And my next on the list that I want to mention is going to be Dr. No, the one that started it all.
Dr. No, the original.
I think it's very classic how they started that movie, even without the James Bond intro.
I agree.
Starred the three blind men playing three blind mice, and they end up assassinating the doctor. We see James Bond as a character. In whole, we see him as the studly man he is, but we also see him as the aggressive spy when he kills that doctor.
And there's,
in the
there's still not quite all the elements that we've come to enjoy about Bond in that movie yet. It really takes till you get to Goldfinger to really all the things that have come across in the movies, the 20 movies or so that have come out since then. You know, the opening adventure sequence, all these different things, but Dr. No really concentrates on Bond quite a bit. I mean, yeah. You know, you can't...
I thought it was a great one. Being the first one, it's already should be in there because the one that started it all.
Right.
I think Sean Connery was excellent. Ursula Andress is hot and iconic, very iconic, her introduction.
The bikini.
But I think it was a great movie.
All right, what's next?
Next, I'm going to mention one that JC is not quite a fan
of.
Oh,
man.
It is Diamonds Are Forever. I've got two on here JC's not a fan of. Diamonds Are Forever, I think, was good. For one, it's a revival of the series because you have the threat that they don't have a Bond. They don't know what to do or how to do it. They actually contact Sean Connery. And with an agreement of an unheard-of amount of money at that time, which I believe was $2-3 million.
Yeah.
And Sean Connery had most of that go to a charity, and that was the only way he agreed to come back as Bond. But that's why in the beginning of that, in the intro, you never see his face.
The movie was charitable.
Hey, look. That was a good movie.
And, all right, look, Jimmy, hold on.
Jimmy Dean aside.
The Sausage King.
Jimmy Dean aside, I thought it was a great movie because you had Jill St. John, who was hot. You had Lana Wood, who also is hot.
Yep.
And you had that great car chase scene in town where he makes a fool of the cops. I think Jill St. John and the banter and the back and forth played a good equal. I loved the Vegas setting. I thought Sean Connery came back in and showed that he wasn't as old as he may have looked in that film. And I liked the villains. They were quirky. I liked the way they transported the diamonds in the beginning. It was really cool how they just skip from scene to scene, and you're watching it develop and you're watching it unwrap as to how they transport these diamonds from the mouths of the diamond workers and all. It was great.
Now, I know that you also like the two villains in that movie, the two henchmen. I call them the two henchmen because...
I think they're unique.
Yeah, they are unique. They're very friendly with one another. Now, you know, look, whenever I go see a movie, the thing I do not want to think of when I'm sitting there looking at a man on the screen is sausage. And every time I look at the screen and see Jimmy Dean up there, I'm thinking about sausage.
Well,
and it's probably because when I grew up, you know, when we grew up on TV, the thing about it was is that Jimmy Dean was on commercials selling sausage. He wasn't on Diamonds Forever. We saw that later, but still. And then, of course, when the henchmen come on, well, there you go.
Well, you know, Jimmy Dean was working for not Willard White, but the character Willard White was based on at that time. Howard Hughes.
Yep.
He was working in one of Howard Hughes' casinos, and he said that was a major decision for him to make because he knew, essentially, he'd be playing Howard Hughes. And he's like, I'm working for this man right now. I don't want to get fired. actually, Cubby Broccoli was a great friend of Howard Hughes. And from what I hear, Howard Hughes actually got the first 30 minutes of every James Bond film ever made, as long as Cubby Broccoli was in charge. Howard Hughes died, of course.
Yeah.
Before it previewed, of course. He would get to watch some of it. He actually gave it his approval.
He ain't going to the movie theater.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere
The man makes
HBO on demand,
movie.
Maybe. He's not going to the movie. Anyway, by the way, Shelfers, look up Putter Smith. Google that. He was Mr. Wint, I believe, in that. He played a weird guy, but he was a jazz musician. Played with a lot of jazz musicians.
Listen, why as a henchman? If you're going to stab Bond with skewers, why do you bother to light them on fire before you stab? You're going to just stab them.
Folks, what JC doesn't understand here is this is James Bond. Everything is the fantastic.
Oh, I understand that. Thinking the villains had to accentuate the flaming aspect of their life. That's all I'm just saying.
And the poker part.
That's right.
Let's go on to the next one that JC doesn't like that I like is V to a Kill. Classic song, Duran Duran, one of the best modern songs of the modern James Bond.
Only one of two things I like about that film is the song and Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken is excellent. They have an excellent backstory for him as a child who was raised to be a KGB agent and then basically goes nuts, which we all know Christopher Walken still suffers from.
He can do that very well. He can do nuts really good.
But he's still entertaining and... I thought he did great in that movie. I liked Patrick McNee, the little banter back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like Grace Jones.
No.
But, hey, served a purpose, I guess. But good movie, I liked.
I didn't really care for Tanya Roberts.
Tanya Roberts was not special either.
It just
I enjoyed the blimp. I enjoyed that. I thought that was pretty cool. They brought it to America. They're working on getting those American audiences. But, I thought they did a good job. And last but not least.
All right.
You Only Live Twice.
Great movie. I love it.
Great movie. One of the best villain hideouts. I think it even rivals Dr. Evil's hideouts in Austin Powers. That volcano was great. James Bond learned to be a ninja. He got married. I mean, there were just different things in that movie you didn't see in the other James Bonds. The ninjas dropping down from top of the volcano. Just some really great elements of that movie and a good song.
That hideout is kind of re-imaged again, kind of a tribute in GoldenEye again, towards the end of the movie where they go, where James Bond and, the Bond girl have that huge satellite dish that they got to reconfigure. But... now my top five. I'm going to name mine. And I, of course, also have number one with a bullet, Goldfinger. Not even going to... the same exact reasons. No need to go. Now I'm going to go into number two. Now here's the thing. From Russia with Love is my next one.
Good movie.
And I got to tell you, what it brings from Dr. No to... From Russia with Love is adding more of the elements of classic Bond. What he's fully formed in Goldfinger, I think, as a movie, as a series.
Right.
All the elements of the series are there. I think From Russia with Love does that, but it also does kind of a classical movie twist on it in terms of putting it on the train, putting the action, the majority of it, on the train.
Good car chase in that, too.
Yeah, and some great characters in there. The guy who plays the villain.
Red Grant.
Excellent Bond villain. The classic shoe with the knife in it, the switchblade shoe. But I think the whole movie itself, I love the last sequence on the water in the speedboats with the gallon drums of fuel when he kicks them out, shoots them with the flare gun.
Great.
You've got the ending song. The song is really good. I love the song. Matt Monro does From Russia with Love song. Excellent
the first car
song.
Phone we see in a movie is in that.
You're right. That's exactly right. Number three, Dr. No. And, in a way, I did the first three I did, they were kind of on my list. I have to put them on there. Because I'm a Sean Connery man. I mean, I love Sean Connery. He's my favorite.
I'm Connery myself.
But again, for the same reasons that you had talked about. Next, here's probably where I deviate from the path. GoldenEye.
It's a decent movie. I'm not a Pierce man.
I love Pierce Brosnan. I think he brings a lot of what Connery brought to the role. I think he brings it back. By the way... the first movie that he ever saw was Goldfinger.
Really?
That was the very first movie he ever saw. He talks about that on one of the special editions of GoldenEye. He mentions that. He talks about that being the first movie he ever saw in a theater.
Sure.
And of course, he, you know, from that point on, he just loved James Bond. He always idolized Sean Connery. I think he puts a different spin on it. He makes Bond, you know, while he's confident and suave, I think Timothy Dalton did it to a degree, brought back the violence of the character, the hard edge of the character.
Yeah.
I think Pierce brought it back with a little bit more backstory.
I wish Dalton would have stayed on.
Yeah.
Honestly, and I guess that brings us to one of your next choices.
That's the next choice, The Living Daylights.
I think personally that Dalton was a good James Bond. Dalton had the dark side of James Bond. He had the fighting, the commitment, the strict ability to be a good action star. But he was also funny. When they drop out of the plane in The Living Daylights with a parachute on the Jeep and they hit the ground and they're sitting at the crossroads, he says, "Oh, I know a good restaurant in that town."
That's right.
And they just shoot off. They just dropped out of a friggin' cargo plane in a Jeep by a parachute.
And
he just lands and thinks of a great restaurant. That's a classic James Bond moment.
The whole globetrotting aspect of that film was something I enjoyed. They go from exotic location to exotic location. They're all over the map in Europe. I love the opening bit with the transporting the defector in the oil tubes.
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic. That was great. I didn't like Joe Don Baker, though.
Oh, man, he was hilarious.
He was all right.
How can you not like Walking Tall?
Well, I didn't like his enemy Lair.
His enemy Lair with the model warriors?
Yeah, but it wasn't much of a lair. It's like a real big apartment.
It was a big model shop. Well, you know, he's trying to go on the cheap.
He was in a patio home.
He's renting out.
I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking that at some point when they're having the gunfight, that his 80-year-old neighbor's going to come over there and tell him to keep it down. Because it seems like they're in a retirement community.
That's
where
right.
they're at.
And James Bond skulking out in the hallway looking for apartment 3B. All the neighbors are looking out of their window because he doesn't belong in the hallway.
Every time they tumble outside, she goes to the door and says, "Is that you, Meals on Wheels?"
Well, you know, what's funny about that, too, and this will be the last thing on the list. Joe Don Baker, of course, in the Brosnan movies, he plays the CIA agent.
That's right.
That replaces Felix Leiter.
That's
so,
right.
All right, well, those are our list. You probably have different ones. If you want to sound off about what your top five James Bond movies are and why, or if you disagree with ours, why don't you leave some comments on the comment section of our post or email us at
randomshelf@hotmail.com.
All right. Now, Wolf, there has been a lot of controversy surrounding the choice of the new Bond, Daniel Craig.
Rightly so.
And many diehard Bond fans have expressed their outrage at the choice. I mean, from the minute it was announced, even before that, because I think people caught wind of who it was going to be. Websites like Daniel Craig Not Bond.
I think it's actually Craig Not Bond.
I'm not sure.
Is it Daniel Craig Not Bond?
I think it's Craig Not Bond.
Well, that means
there's two sites dedicated to that. Well, there's more than that. MI6.com has also published a lot of news articles about it. They just pop up and they vented their frustration out online. But despite fan reaction, producers Barbara Broccoli and Michael Wilson have pressed forward, even going as far as to reinvent the character. I think what's happening is another instance in the Hollywood trend to reinvent the wheel, a trend that has seen similar installments with varying degrees of success with movies like Batman Begins.
Yes, varying.
And lately, Superman Returns.
I haven't seen Superman Returns. I saw Batman Begins. There were good aspects of it, I felt. But there's something about Christian Bale, about his mouth.
Yeah.
The way he holds his mouth and smiles. It's like, if it's one of those distinct things he does. And this may sound, no homo, by the way. But, you know, no offense. But this may sound a little awkward. But if you can't tell that he's, but what if Batman had like a super powerful lisp? Now, if you hung out with a guy who had the same build and same structure, same tone to his voice, and the same crazy horrible lisp, now all of a sudden you see a man in a bat suit with the same build, the same tone to his voice, and that same crazy lisp. I mean, you're talking three details there that come to match to tell you. I don't know. Christian, it was good. I enjoyed the story and what they were doing, but I didn't like it that much.
If you kind of meet up with a villain like Clayface, I mean, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
Clayface. You know, talk about the Clayface. I think you need to go to jail, Clayface. I mean, it's not going to happen. But the thing about it is, even with Superman Returns, what you're talking about is you're going to a character who has a huge backstory, like Bond.
Right.
You go to a character like Batman or Superman, these fantasy characters that have legions of fans, and they've come up, popped up in all incarnations of media. Comic books, movies, film,
right,
video
right.
games. I mean, it's not hard to know the backstory of the character. Now, all characters evolve, but you're talking about taking a character like, for in the example of Superman that came about in the 30s, or Batman also, I mean, you're talking 70-plus years of backstory that have been pretty firmly established
They've got fans to deal with.
Yeah.
And James Bond's the same way. But those producers don't only have fan reaction to deal with. They also have recent difficulties, such as a fire at Pinewood Studios.
Yep. I think they filmed
everything
in there.
God is trying to tell them not to make this movie with all the difficulties.
Daniel Craig sucks.
In not so many terms. Bring back John Cleese. There's been a lot of rumors about Daniel Craig, and people said he's unable to drive the stick shift, which we have heard press statements saying, no, that's not true.
He's got to drive the Aston Martin.
The producers have countered the entire backlash with a major campaign to build up Daniel Craig, and you see that in evidence is all these side characters and people stepping out purposely to say, hey, Daniel Craig's great. Even the fact that they release, you know, typically you wait for one movie to come out.
Right.
You wait to see if it's successful. Then maybe a week or two after it releases, then they try to really pay off on your excitement by saying, and we've signed them for the next movie. They've done that now before the movie's even come out. While still in production, they're trying to tell you, hey, he's so great, we've signed him again, just to make you see the first one.
Well, they've already filmed the opening action sequence for Bond number 22. And the sequence is supposed to take place immediately after the events of Casino Royale, which is why they filmed it like that, to lead it into Bond number 22, which still doesn't have a title yet. But, you know, I think what you're saying, and what I think also as well, you've got the Bond girl, the leading lady. You got the Bond villain, both of them, plus even a bit player coming out, the guy who runs Virgin Aircraft,
Bradford,
Virgin Mobile.
Something Bradford or
Robert,
something.
Branson.
Branson, that's it.
And
as in Missouri.
I mean, he has like a cameo part. He's
right.
he's in the hotel lobby.
I think they've commercialized it too much.
And what they've done is they have put out the troops to play up the movie. They've released limited amounts of showings to the public, and it's really not to the public, it's to film critics Europe who've watched the movie, and they say, oh, we've seen several, you know, we've seen 20 minutes of footage, and it's great. You can't base a judgment on a film on that. What is coming across like is this is too much of a spin campaign on the part of the producers, is damage control in order to cover for Daniel Craig. And if Daniel Craig is so great, which, you know, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I've only seen one or two movies that he's been in.
Road to Perdition was excellent.
Yeah, he was good in that. And,
he was actually in a movie called The Power of One long time ago where he played with Stephen Dorff. He was Sergeant Botha. He was actually, during the apartheid movement, his character was a young boy that picked on Stephen Dorff's character when he was a little boy.
Yeah.
He was a pro-Nazi police officer in apartheid South Africa. Actually played a really stunning character in that movie. And then Road to Perdition he was good in. I don't think Craig does what we need. And I've seen a preview, and it looks just like an action movie. It looks like you could just plug an action star in. You don't see Bond. Most of the Bond previews, you see very little fighting. You see him talking, being suave. You see gadgets. You see certain things like that. But you're not going to see major fighting and roundhouse kicks and all that stuff, which I saw with Craig, and all these explosions. And, you know, James Bond had them, but they made it too much of an action flick.
Well, that's not real. And, you know, here's the thing. In defense of Daniel Craig, which I don't do very often, but that's really the producer's handling of the character and the writers. He makes certain choices as an actor, but they're sitting there telling, okay, we don't have a cue in the story, because the story supposedly takes place in his initial forays as a spy, before he even gets his 00 status. These are his first assassinations, his first kills. But there's no cue. There was no cue in Dr. No. We know that. But they've gone back to try to make this, they quote-unquote, a grittier Bond.
Right.
A more real Bond. And you know, I think what they're stripping away from the character and from the franchise in an effort to replicate the successes of movies like Batman Begins and Superman to reinvent this character that's gone on for 20 films. We're talking 40-plus years of this character. It has a huge fan base, and I think what they're doing is I don't know. I don't. What do you think? Are you going to go see it in the theater?
Negative. That's going to be a thumbs down for me, Shelfers. If somebody else rents it, I'll borrow it from them. I'm not even giving Blockbuster my money.
You know?
I want the producers to know that we want more traditional Bond, which is more story-oriented than it was action-oriented. No offense to Mr. Craig. He's made some good movies. I like him as an actor. I just don't like him as James Bond, and I think that's everything I have to say about that.
I won't go see it in theater also. And, you know, the little things that a lot of these fans are nitpicking about, him being blonde, that kind of stuff, that to me is incidental. It's really what they're doing with the character and with the franchise. So I won't go see it in theater, but because I'm a completist and because I've seen all the other Bond movies, I will see it when it comes out on DVD. I just don't know if I will own it. And that's the shelf take on James Bond.
For today, at least.
That's for today, at least. The top five list will probably change next week if we think about it again. But that's the shelf take. And remember, shelfers, remember the shelf motto. Think for yourself.